Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Hallelujah. I want to share the Word of God with you today. I've been doing a little sermon series through the month of February called Complete the Transaction. Hello, Miss Donna. Good to see you as well. I've been doing this series called Complete the Transaction. As we go through the Word of God, we see that the Lord has already done His part in many things and many promises, and now it's our turn to do our part. You know, a lot of times we have this thing, we just want God to show up and just fix all of our little problems in our life for us, and then it's all good, you know? And we're like, well, you know, God just did that, now I'm all better. And that's great, but oftentimes He just shows us the way, and it's our responsibility to respond to the Word of God. Amen? So the first week I talked about how He's completed the transaction of salvation. Amen? If you're in this place today, I hope that you've received salvation from the Lord. If not, someone would love to pray with you so that you can complete that transaction today and make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. That's the most important thing. And then last week we talked about how He's completed the transaction. He's done His part in unlocking financial blessings for you and your life. He cares about you being blessed. How many know that God wants His people to be blessed? Not always blessed the way some people may think. It doesn't mean you're going to have $1 million in your bank account tomorrow. But it may be that He's given you great health, that He's extended your life. Amen? God blesses in so many ways. And we talked about that, how in certain giving, it unlocks blessings from God. You can find all of these on our podcast channel, FWC B-Town. Just look that up on podcast and listen to those messages. But today we're going to talk about complete the transaction of healing. Of healing. At some point in time in your life, I'm sure that every single person will need a touch from God and a form of healing. Sometimes that healing you may think is a sickness or a disease, but oftentimes it's emotional. Oftentimes it is just something that we're dealing with that we need healing from, a past hurt. But, you know, the healing of God is for everyone. And He's already done His part, and now it's time to do ours. First of all, we see in Isaiah 53:5, and I like to tell people that this is, I go through a lot of scriptures, so you may want to write them down. You don't always have to turn to them, but you can check me later, because I will go through a lot today. But in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Amen. Someone say amen. Because that's a powerful statement from the Word of God as a promise to you. That's a transaction that God has already completed. Now, this was spoken in the Old Testament in Isaiah before Jesus had ever came to die on a cross. It was prophesied that He would come and that He would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And this is how I show you that healing is for personal things as well, emotional things as well, because it says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. If the devil has tried to steal your peace, you can be healed from that today. And by His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And then we come into the New Testament. It says, "He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross, so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed." I think it says you are healed. Not that you might be healed, but you are healed. So now you have to lay hold of that promise. You have to claim your part of the transaction that Jesus has already completed. Again, I'm going to give you a couple more, and I'm going to show you how to do that. Psalms 119, 49 and 50, it says, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. This is what comforts me in my trouble, for your promise revives me. Hallelujah. The promise of God should revive you. Knowing that there is a promise for you should give you excitement. Knowing that God has something for you. Knowing in Jeremiah 33:3 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Those are promises from God that should revive you, that should excite you. And the Lord says, or here, David was crying out, says, remember your word to your servant. Sometimes you got to tell God, hey, remember what you said. I'm sure your kids have ever reminded you what you said before, right? You said, if I did this, then, you know, you'd do that. They always like to remember things when they get a good grade on their report card, don't they? They come in, well, you said if I get this grade, you'd give me that. I was like, man, that was back when you were in first grade. You're a freshman now. Psalms 103:2-3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals your disease. Sometimes you gotta remind yourself of the benefits that God has. You ever worked at a place and they had benefits and you didn't know about them? All of a sudden you found out you had a benefit, someone's getting a benefit you didn't know about. You're like, well, I didn't know we could do that. It's like, yeah, it's one of our benefits. It's like, oh, well. And it's like not being able to take advantage of a benefit that was available to you. You know, I work for the state. It's my day job. And one of the benefits is they give us a discount if we have AT&T. I didn't know that for a while. And then I've had AT&T and someone said that. And I was like, what? So I tell as soon as someone gets hired on state, hey, guess what? You have AT&T? You get a discount. You know, it's a little bit off your phone plan, but it's a benefit I got. I'm going to take advantage of my benefit, right? You know, some places, if you just ask, will pay for your gym memberships because it helps their overall insurance plan if people are healthy. And it's a benefit. And sometimes you just got to ask. You know, that's what's amazing about the Word of God is there's so many benefits for us that we don't even look into. There's so many benefits that God has for us that we don't take advantage of. He's already paid for it. The price has already been paid. Why not take the benefit? Why not receive the benefit? Don't make him pay for a promise that you're not going to receive. So how? How? All right, I heard you, Pastor. All these things are available, but now how do we do it? How do we receive the promise? It's one thing to hear it, but then sometimes if it's complicated, you're like, well, I don't know how to do it. No one's shown me how. They've told me. A lot of people will tell you, but not show you. Amen? Today we're going to show you how you can receive the healing that you need. First of all, I want you to know it starts with prayer. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. That's why we pray for people. That's why we invite people to come up for prayer. Can God touch you in your seat? Sure. Can God touch you in your car? Sure, absolutely. But there's power in prayer. We're going to look at James chapter 5 today, verses 13 through 18. And it says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Anybody suffering hardships today? There's hardships in our lives. I know. You should pray. Are any of you happy? Anybody happy today? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I love that. I love that part. It produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human, and as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. Now, I want to point out something on that passage right there. It's beginning to talk about people that are sick. It's beginning to talk about people that are suffering and coming before the Lord and letting the elders of the church, pastors of the church, deacons of the church, you know, pray for you, be in agreement for prayer. Then it goes on to talk about Elijah in that portion. Because when Elijah in this portion called for no rain, this wasn't something that the Lord told him to do. He did it on his own, but the Lord honored his prayer. That's why it's unique that he makes reference to this here in James, that he makes reference to Elijah. He could have made reference to anybody else in the Bible, all these other powerful men of God that the Lord spoke to. You know, I mean, he told them when he walked to the Red Sea to speak to the sea and it would open, right? He told them that. You know, he told Moses to strike the rock, right? He told Moses that. So Moses, you know, when he prayed and struck the rock, you know, water flew. Why? Because God told him. But Elijah here, he made reference to Elijah. He didn't make reference to Abraham. He didn't make reference to Moses. He didn't make reference to Noah. He made reference to Elijah in this particular instance that he prayed earnestly for something that the Lord didn't tell him to do. But God still honored his prayer. He did that so that we could understand the power of prayer. The power of prayer. God wants you to make all your petitions known to him. It's not, he pointed out this, so you can come and I know there's been so many people that come in and say, well, you know, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. Well, I think I've read all that. It's his will. I mean, he gave a promise to all. He didn't give this promise and say, I'm going to give this promise of healing to everybody but you, David, okay? It's for everybody else, but not, or he didn't have a list of people that it wasn't for. No, so it's his will. That's why he's talking about Elijah, because he said, you know, was it my will for it not to rain for 3.5 years? No, but you know, you pray for it, I'm going to honor your prayer. But it is my will for you. What do you have need of? What hardships are you facing? It is my will to answer your prayer. I know that we get into this situation times, and especially when we talk about healing, it's like, well, then why didn't this person get healed? I don't know. Why didn't this person get delivered? I don't know. But I know that God's still a healer. I know that he can heal any sickness, any disease in a moment. That's what he can do. But we come for prayer, okay? Here's where we get into the how. We come for prayer, we've done it right. It says, okay, I'm dealing with this, I have this hardship, I have this need, I have this sickness, I have this ailment, I come for prayer, the elders of the church pray for me, and it's great, and I turn around and I walk back to my seat, nothing happened. What, God? What then? Why, God? The second thing we must do after we pray is we turn to his word. His word. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word. He sent the word of God. We all have access to the word of God. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. But I'll tell you, it's also on your phone. Pretty easy to have access to the word of God. But he sent his word to heal them. In Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words and don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Hallelujah. Come on, someone, say amen. Because that's the word of God. It says, listen carefully to my words. And don't lose sight of them. You can lose sight of the word of God. Because when we quit reading it, when we quit focus on it, and we start focusing on everything else that's happening in the world, we lose sight of the word of God. When we turn to the news instead of turning to the word of God, we lose sight of the Word of God. When we turn to what the doctor says instead of what the Word says, we lose sight of the Word of God. But we have to keep sight on what, and then let it penetrate deep into your heart. Deep. What kind of soil do you have today? Will this Word penetrate into your heart today, or will it fall on stony ground? Will it fall among thorns today? See, the Word of God, it can fall on good soil, and it can fall on stony ground, thorns. It can be easily plucked away. And that's what happens when you get a prayer and you say, oh, I feel good, I feel better. And then you walk out and someone says, well, you know, you still got that ache, don't you? Yeah, well, then you're probably not healed. Pluck the Word right away. Why aren't I healed? See, I can't go through everybody and tell you exactly what they think, what they believe. Did they let the Word of God penetrate them? I can't tell you. I've had people tell me, well, they prayed hard and they believed and they never wavered. I don't know. I hope so. But if they still didn't receive their miracle, I don't know. We don't know a person's heart, but you know yours. Let the Word of God penetrate your heart because it brings life to those who find it and healing to their whole body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Healing to their whole body. See, sometimes we come in and we want God to just touch this thing. And you coming in all the time. I mean, I never went to a chiropractor before. Anybody go to a chiropractor? You come into a chiropractor and you say, hey, you know, hey, doc, I got this problem with my back, right? Touch my back. And then all of a sudden he goes, it ain't your back at all. It's your hip. It ain't your back at all. It's your shoulder. It ain't your back at all. It's your neck. Right? But that's what, we come into God and we say, God, just touch this. Oh, no, don't go over here. Don't look under this area of my life. Just heal right here. But we got to come to God, open book, so that he can heal our whole body from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. That's the way I pray when I pray for people. Lord, touch them from the top of their head to the soles, because I want your whole body to come into alignment with the Word of God. Your body has to be in alignment with God. You get just like you get your back out of alignment, it hurts. If you get your life out of alignment with the Word of God, you will suffer hardships. You will. That's why you'll read James, for those that suffer hardships, we bring it on ourselves. We do it. We do it ourselves. You know, most of the times when I go tweak my back, it's because I'm trying to act like I'm 20. I bring it on myself. I do something I shouldn't be doing, right? I have to be in alignment. Spiritually, we have to be in alignment with the Word of God. Today, I was teaching in my fundamentals class, FWC Foundations. That's at 9 o'clock. If you're new here today and you would like to come to that class, it's at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and you are welcome. We go through that class, and today we're talking about the 16 fundamental truths, which we base on the message of Jesus. And it was that the Word of God is inspired, and it is true. It is divinely inspired, and it's true. So if it is true, we should be in alignment with this Word. There is nothing more right than the Word of God. If you see things and you say, well, I heard things today that I don't understand, well, we'll refer it back to the Word of God because it is true. There is healing in the Word of God. Some people have received their healing just by reading the Word. I've seen so many people that just began. I know someone, a friend of my father's, that could not read, never could read. And he just began to open up the Bible and stare at it. And began to look at it. And all of a sudden, the Lord just began to speak to him the words that were on the page. And he learned how to read by looking at the Word of God. Not only did this guy learn how to read, he went on to pass a master heating and air certification and has his own flourishing business that he can't even keep enough employees to do all the work that he has. A guy that couldn't read, but the Lord restored his whole body. Because he came into alignment with the Word of God. It's so important. It's so important. If you come believing for a healing and you've been prayed for and you say, well, I'm not getting it. It didn't happen. It didn't receive it like I wanted. Get in the Word. That's the second thing that we must do. Get in the Word. Number three, there is healing through faith. There is healing through faith. In Acts 3:16, we see the story here of where Peter came to the temple, and there was a crippled man laying at the temple, and he was begging. He was begging. He was looking for change. He was looking for money. And Peter told him, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you. And he told him to get up and walk. And then we see here in Acts 3:16, it says, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Faith in Jesus' name brings healing. You got to have faith that what God said he will do, he will do. And you got to take it a step further. It's not just that what God said he will do, that he will do, but what God said he will do for you. Because see, oftentimes we begin to look at someone and think they deserve it more than us. Well, they've been to church longer. They're more righteous. They probably give more than I do. They probably do that. You know, y'all don't know what I done. I'm going to have to make some wrongs right before God will heal me. That's not the Word. Through faith in Jesus, he was healed. And it says, you know how crippled he was before. I think that means so much more. Not just that you know how crippled he was before, but you know how he was before. You know what kind of person he was before. That's funny. You know, all of a sudden God does something in your life, and then people start going, well, yeah, I know how you were before. Right? Oh, I know how you used to talk. I know the things you used to do. I know how you used to party. Yeah. But through faith in Jesus, I'm set free. Through faith in Jesus, I'm a new creation. Through faith in Jesus, I'm born again. Through faith in Jesus, I am healed, set free, delivered. Amen? When we look, I'm gonna go through Matthew's chapter 8 and 9 kind of quickly on a few different verses to show you these two chapters are just powerful in talking about the faith and healing that Jesus did. And so in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, there was a man with leprosy and approached him and knelt before him. And he said, and Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached down and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. So Jesus showed him, I am willing. I want you to know today that God is willing. Going on down to verse 6, this man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word, and where you are, my servant will be healed. Jumping down to verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Just imagine, you come today, during that song, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. I need a healing. Your name is healing. I need a healing. And you walk in and you just been, Jesus, I'll call on your name. I don't have to have the pastor pray for me. I don't have, apostle not here today. Oh, well, I'm not going to get prayed for. No, you don't have to have him here today. Jesus is here. Yeah. And Jesus honored that faith. He said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Faith will bring forth your healing. Faith, jumping down again to verse 17. Jesus said, this fulfilled the word, or they said, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our disease. We're seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jumping to chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat, and seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven. Now, I want you to see something here. I wanted to point this scripture out to you because sometimes you come in and you don't have the faith to be healed, but those around you do. You don't have the faith to be set free, but those around you do. It didn't say that the man on the mat had great faith. It said those that brought him had great faith. That's why it's so important for the church that when we're praying for someone, that your faith rises. That you say, I know that today God is going to perform a miracle. I know that today God is going to heal that person. That's why we get in corporate prayer and we say, hey, let's all pray for this person or this need or that need. Because when we begin to come together and pray, our faith arises. God looks down and sees our faith. And he, seeing that faith, then spoke to the need. Seeing the faith of others, he spoke to the need. But the need. He prayed for, they brought him to be healed, but he said, be encouraged, your sins are forgiven. He got a little ridicule for this. So then jumping down to verse 5, he says, Jesus says, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that I am the Son of Man. And I have the authority on earth to forgive sins. And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up and went. See, there's something so powerful in the word of Jesus. When he comes, sometimes we come here and we get a prayer and we go about our way. We won't feel better and we go about our way. And Jesus says, that's easy to say. It's easy to say your sins are forgiven. It's easy to say today your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's easy to say, but to tell someone that's blind, open your eyes and you can see. To tell someone that's deaf, open your ears, you can hear. To tell someone that's in a wheelchair, that's paralyzed, get up and walk. Wow. That takes such a great level of faith. But that is the faith that Jesus desires us to have. Jumping down into verse 18. It says, as Jesus was saying this, the leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, he said. But you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hands on her. He had great faith. And in verse 22, Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. We see where Jesus healed the blind in verse 29. He touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. We see throughout Scripture that Jesus healed many. And it says in the Word of God that he healed so many that this book can't contain all the things that he did. We just see certain little things. In Mark chapter 10, verses 51 and 52, we see the story of blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus spoke to him, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? My rabbi, the blind man, said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. In Matthew, we see where Jesus even healed someone, and they were a sinner. They began to talk. He called this woman a dog first. And then he said, dear woman, your faith is great, so your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Jesus wants to heal people. He wants our faith to increase. In Matthew 15, 28 and 31, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee, climbed a hill and sat down, and a vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. And they laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. The blind could see. And they praised the God of Israel. You know what's amazing about this? God says we can see that today. God says we can see this today. So what we have to do is we have to pray that our faith increases. that our faith increases for what God can do. Because he wants to do these powerful things. So again, we get in this thing we've been prayed for. We read the word. Our faith is strong. And we still struggle to see healings. You know, there's something that had always jumped out to me in being healed. And it's something I've noticed in most of these passages that I read today, even that Jesus did. That he told them, just like we saw in blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10:52, he said, go. 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 Your faith has made you well. Go. So my fourth point for you today is something that you have to do to receive healing and be set free is walk out your healing. You have to go. What does that mean? I believe Jesus shows us this in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is the story of the 10 lepers. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Go, go, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, pause. And as they went. There's something powerful about going. There's something powerful about leaving this altar after you've been prayed for and how you walk, whether you receive the healing that God has for you. As they, how do you go? Lord, take away their pain? I hope so. Lord, heal them from this? I hope so. Well, that'd be great. How do you go? Do you go full of faith? Do you go speak in doubt? How do you go? As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they went. I just imagine this. 10 people. Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Not supposed to do that. We have leprosy. We're not supposed to go and do that. All right. Well, you know, I still got leprosy. How am I supposed to go show myself? They're going to reject me. We're going to be in trouble. But as they went, I can see the 10 walking. And then all of a sudden, just some leprosy falls off. I mean, I can imagine when I'm looking going, Justin, do I got that on my face anymore? Is that gone? No, that looks a little better. And as they went, God just continued to heal them. And as they went, when you get healed from God, when you get a touch from God, how do you go? How do you walk your healing? It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus. So I know for a fact that they had to leave Jesus. They weren't healed in front of Jesus. It was as they went that they were healed because they had to return to Jesus. When I realized I'm healed, I came back to Jesus and I saw that I'm healed and I said, look, I'm healed. He praised God and he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Man, it's powerful. Because I know so many times that you come and you pray. You come and you get a touch from God. And you walk out that healing. And then all of a sudden, something happens. I want to share a little bit of my testimony. Many of you have heard it, but I'll go into some other different parts of it today. When I was in college, I was rock climbing and without ropes. It's a real smart thing to do, right? And I fell 25 feet. I fell straight down a cliff. The whole way down, I'm smacking the cliff, trying to regrip. Rocks were embedded in my palms from where I was just grabbing and clawing. When I hit the ground, I broke my ankle, and I broke my back immediately. I had a burst wedge compression fracture in my back, and it just threw me backwards, almost from here to that wall, from just the hit, and then it threw me. And as I'm flying through the air backwards, I, of course, try to brace the fall, and I extend my arm, and this arm, just like an accordion, broke all the way to my elbow. They had to take out like 13 fragments of bone. They had to rebuild this whole thing back together with bars and pins and all that fun stuff. They put a pin in my ankle and all this stuff. And I had so many people praying. Many of you were here at that time and were praying, you know, that God would touch me, that he would heal me. And I looked pitiful. They bring me out of the hospital finally in a wheelchair with a leg thing, an arm thing, a back cage. I mean, whew, it was a pitiful sight. I couldn't do anything, you know. And I knew God was going to heal me. I knew God was going to heal me. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy. And so when I went to the doctor, I had to learn how to write again. I couldn't even hold a pen. I mean, I couldn't do anything but move my finger like that. But I believed God was going to heal me. I went to the doctor, and I told him he was getting ready to take off the first cast off my leg, and I wanted to leave in a walking boot. And he said, no, I'm going to put you in another cast. And I said, no, you're not. And so we argued. He put me in a walking boot. But he said to me, you will walk with a limp the rest of your life. You will deal with pain the rest of your life. And at that moment, I could believe the healing for God, and I could have said, well, at least I can walk. Many people do that. At least I can walk. Amen. It's a miracle that I can walk. It's a miracle that I'm not dead, right? We give God glory. Amen. It's a miracle that I'm not dead. It's a miracle that I can walk. Thank you, God, that I can walk. I could have stayed there. I could have let my faith stay there. But I believed I was healed. So I looked at the doctor and got angry. How many of you ever just get mad at someone? I got angry. And I said, you don't know what you're talking about. And I will run. I left that place. And I mean, I couldn't do anything. And here's the thing. I'm believing for a healing. I believe God has healed me. And I had to make a decision. This happened on Father's Day in June when I fell. I had to make a decision that year to go back to college for my senior year. All of my doctors said, do not go back to college. Sit out a whole semester. Sit out a semester. You're not healed. You're not well. You cannot go back to school. Do not do it. And I said, I'm going back to college. I'm not missing my senior year. I'm not sitting out one semester. I'm not sitting out one day. And I said I was going to go. Well, here's the problem. I'm healed. But I still couldn't hold a pen. How was I going to take notes? I'm healed. But I've got myself down to a walking boot and a crutch. But I lived on the second floor. I had just moved to the furthest part of campus away from all of my classes. I had to walk, I had to leave 45 minutes early for class to hobble across campus. But I was healed. I had a pain like no other. And I remember the very first night when I get there at school, I get up to those steps and I walk into the bathroom to take a shower that night. And I went, oh God, I can't even get in the shower. Because I couldn't put weight on this foot to step over, because if I did, I had to come down and put weight on this foot to get the other leg over, and I couldn't put any weight on this foot. I couldn't put any weight on it. None. It's still, the excruciating pain would bring me to my knees. And I remember standing there in that shower trying to get in, just in tears, going, Should I have come back to school? Were the doctors right? Right? That's when the enemy comes in. That's when you're healed. See, I told you you weren't healed. I told you you shouldn't do this. and I tried, and it hurt. I finally found a way to get in the shower because you know I wasn't going to call anyone to help me. And I get in, and then I just, every day, my faith began to increase. And I went, and I'd go up to the track at night all by myself. I'd wait till it was really, 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 really dark because I didn't want anyone to see me. And I'd get up there, and I would try to walk on that track, tears down my face. And I walked, and the next thing I know, I'd hobble around that track, tears down my face. And before you know it, I was running that track. I didn't have a Brittany kind of mile over here, but I was running laps. And when I went into that doctor, I took that duffel bag in, and I was walking in tennis shoes that day, and I set it down. And I said, he looks at me, and I said, there was the walking boot you put me in. There was the air cast I put myself on. There was the brace that I did, and I'm running a mile a day. Amen? And he said, I did a good job, didn't I? I could have been like the other 9 lepers and said, yeah, doc, you did a great job. Or I could have been like the one that came back to give praise to Jesus. And I looked at that doctor and I said, you didn't do anything. I said, I'm healed by the power of Jesus. But you know what? You know what? It was 20-some years ago. So a couple things I had to do, because a lot of times we get hurt, a lot of times things happen in our lives, and then we're like, do we want to face that fear again? One of the things I loved was playing soccer, and I had played on the intramural sports all through my college career, and so during that year, my senior year of college, all I could do was coach them. And the last game of the season, I said, guys, let me lace up. They said, you're crazy. You can't do that. What if someone slide tackles you? I said, I've got to prove to myself that I'm healed. I laced up. Soccer, you got to be agile. You got to move those legs. You got to roll those ankles. It's dangerous. And I went out there and I played. They let me play for a few minutes, and I played. And then I had to face another fear. And I walked into one of those places with those indoor climbing walls. I said, I'm going to climb. And I reached. And when this hand grabbed, oh, the pain. And I pulled, and I grabbed, and I pulled, and I grabbed. My hand was sweating. It was aching. It was hurting. And I'm doing the shaking it off. But I proved that I could do it. And I climbed. And I ran. And I've never let anything hold me back. I've never let anything stop me from keeping my healing. Now, that was 20-some years ago. Later on that year, in my senior year, I went to Salt Lake City. I was working for the Olympics, and I was in Park City, Utah. And if you're in Park City, Utah, during the Winter Olympics, you got to go skiing, right? Amen. I'm healed. So I strapped on those ski boots, and I said, send me to the top of the mountain. I got to the top of the mountain and thought, oh, what have I done? And I realized something when I started going down that mountain, that I could go this way. And you know how you're supposed to go back and forth real. Some people, Brandon looks good when he does it. It's all fluid motion over here. You know, I'm trying to go, and all I could do was make half moons. I'd go, and I'd get to this part, and I'd go. And then I'd ski a giant half moon, and I'd get to this point, and I'd hop around. And that's all I could do, because I still was struggling to put weight like I needed to on this foot, but nothing was going to hold me back from my healing. Now, you can look at that and tell me, oh, that's not wise. It's not very intelligent. My mama did, okay? So you'd be no different. But I needed to know I was healed. And, you know, there are days, even now, that sometimes I'll throw my feet out of bed in the morning and they'll hit the floor, and all of a sudden, a pain will come through me and take me all the way to my knees. And I'll grab that bed, almost falling to my knees, feeling that pain, bringing back that memory of what it felt like when I couldn't get in that shower. And the devil would say, you're not healed. It was only for a moment. But before I reach the edge of that bed, I have to say, I am healed. You're not going to take my healing. I'm going to walk it out. 20-some years later, I'm still walking out my healing. There are days I'll be sitting there at work writing, and all of a sudden my hand will cramp, and I can't hold a pen. And I work, and I say, you're not taking my healing. See, God will heal you, but the devil wants to steal it from you. And I have a couple final scriptures for you. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. You got to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Because the devil has strategies that he wants to come at you in your life with. He wants to attack you with anxiety. He wants to attack you with depression. He wants to attack you telling you that your healing is not, you don't have a healing yet. He's going to try to attack you with strategies. But the Word of God says, stand firm against those strategies. Stand firm, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen worlds, against the powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. See, the devil always has strategies to take your healings. He always has strategies to take away the promise that God has for you. That's why we have to stand firm. That's why we have to continue to go. That's why I think it's so important, as Jesus said in all those miracles, go. Because it determines how you walk out your walk, how you walk out your healing, how you walk your life every day, how you walk your salvation. Are you a new creation? How do you walk it? Do you go? Or do you go in peace? Do you go healed? Do you go set free? Do you go delivered? How do you go? Because we have to continue our walk. Healing may happen in an instant time for you, and it may be something that you have to walk out. It may be something you have to walk out. The devil's strategies for you may just be symptoms. But when we lay hold of the symptoms, we give up the healing. Oh, I've had symptoms. I've had symptoms. I've had symptoms where, oh, I didn't know what was happening with this leg. Just a couple years ago, the devil really tried to attack me. One morning I got up and I picked up a coffee cup and it almost fell out of my hand. I mean, it just fell. And I grabbed my wrist, the one that was repaired, and it was hurting so bad. And if I opened my hand up like this, my hand fell. I had no strength all of a sudden in my wrist again. None. 2 years ago. And I was like, what has happened? And it hurt. We went to the doctor. We went and got x-rays. They said, there's nothing wrong. I said, something's wrong. We went to the specialist. They said, nothing's wrong. It hit me. The devil is giving me symptoms to steal my healing. Then all of a sudden, it went from my wrist back to my ankle. And I'm telling you, the pain in my ankle was worse than it was when I broke it. And it hurt so bad. And I was like, what is happening to my body? And they said, well, the stuff, they told me, these surgeries, sometimes they just stop working after so many years. It's coming back on you. That's what you're going to have to live with. That's what they told me. And I just began to take authority. I began to pray, and I had to fight for my healing all over again. But I stood strong against the strategies and the symptoms of the devil. He has symptoms to steal your healing. Are you laying hold of the symptoms? What is it? When those things happen to you, you can't lay hold of the symptom. When you walk out of here and you say you've been healed, but you're still dealing with the problem, do you hang on to the symptom or do you hang on to the Word? Do you hang on to the symptom or do you hang on to God? 2 Timothy 1:7 is my last scripture. I'm going to have the praise team come. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of sound discipline. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. That's why I wasn't timid about going down that mountain. That's why I wasn't timid about playing soccer, about climbing that wall. That's why I'm not timid to go out right now in my 40s and play basketball with my son. I built him a goal 2 years ago and put it up, and that's when it hit me that I couldn't even walk. I just built him a goal, just pulled a concrete pad and a basketball goal, and I can't even go play with him because that hurt so bad. The pain was so great that I couldn't even, the devil was trying to say, you think you're going to do this? You can't even walk. Some of you don't know, on Sunday mornings it took all I had just to stand here and hold on this pulpit with my leg hurting so bad. But I wasn't going to lay hold of that. And now, as I have again began to hold on to that healing, I'm going out there and playing basketball with him all the time. We're going out playing hoops, running around. Because nothing, I'm not going to have a spirit of fear. I'm not going to have a spirit of fear about my healing. I'm not going to worry when all of a sudden I get a pain in my big toe or my wrist starts to hurt. It cramps up. I'm not going to let fear come over me, because I'm telling you, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I want you to get that today. Fear tolerated. If you tolerate fear in your life, you've contaminated your faith. The moment you allow fear to come in your life in any way, shape, or form, your faith begins to diminish. You begin to lay it down. When you give hold to the symptom, I see people give hold to symptoms all the time. Boy, I'm going to tell y'all, make me mad. If I know you well, you know it's true. When I hear you talking about the symptom, and I know you've already received the promise. Quit holding the symptom. Hold the promise. Quit holding fear. Quit living a life of timidity. But he has given us a spirit of power and love and of sound discipline. Hallelujah. Because he's a good God.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast. And visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.